Live from the Mall of America, talking sports and
what can I do for you?
Returning pants, Zolak and Bertrand on Radio Row. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row, inside Mall of America, Super Bowl 52. We got one of our regular guests with us.
We sure do.
One of the regulars, and that's Bert Breer, now sitting in the Big Y World Class Market guest chair. Right, Bert? It's a beautiful chair, is it not?
It is very comfortable.
Love Big Y World Class
Market.
Very
comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Got a Big Y right down the street that we go to often.
Nice to see you again, Bert.
Good to
Bert
see you, Beatles.
Stopped by
Zo.
On Monday,
hey, pal.
And now he's going to be with us for the next couple of hours, and we will possibly have some guests stopping by as well. Bert looking very dapper today, going with the full suit and tie.
Got to dress up for the last 3 days of the week because we're doing shows over there, which is, feels like coming through an obstacle course getting back over here.
It's only
going to get
oh
worse.
Oh, my God.
I mean, like, because normally you're in a convention center, so all these tables are a little more spread out. Yeah.
But we have maybe the best spot here.
Wait a minute. They put that set up for Doug freaking Gottlieb?
Well, it's for all Fox Sports Radio. It's not just Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah, he works for Fox now, right?
Oh, my
God.
Yeah,
so it's like Clay Travis in the morning, Doug Gottlieb. Who else is on Fox? I can't remember.
What a waste of money.
A bunch of national network crap where not a single interesting thing is said ever.
Right. What a waste of money.
Oh, a bunch of nonsense. Waste of time, waste of money, waste of listener hours, waste of everything. All right, Bert. We've now been here a couple of days. Are you seeing any themes developing as you hear both of these teams talk about this game?
You know what I really like was that the Eagles have addressed, like, the Patriots' mystique head-on. Like, you heard Doug Peterson say it last week. He's addressed it with his players. And I like that because they're not waiting to get into the fourth quarter to deal with that, right? Like, I think most coaches would tell you the best thing to do is just treat them like their helmet is – like they're wearing a blank white helmet and black jersey and just treat them like a nameless foe, right? And I like that the Eagles are addressing it head on.
What are they saying?
Well, because they're saying, like, that's a real thing that we've got to deal with. And, like, I just think it's a better – it's from a strategic standpoint, I think it's better to deal with that now and to talk to your players about that now and tell your players now, we're going to remain aggressive in that situation and we need you to do the same thing. We need to play our game all the way through. And, you know, Peter had the and I don't know if you guys read it on the Monday Morning Quarterback, but Peter drove to work with Doug Peterson, 45-minute drive, whatever it was, like last week, right?
Yep.
And he said Peterson 5 separate times brought up the 60-minute thing. So they are really drilling that into their players' heads.
That's important. He obviously has seen that it takes the full 60.
Well, I mean, look, Jacksonville last week, Atlanta last year, like, I think the ultimate sign and the symbol, we talked about this last week, the symbol of the Patriots' greatness is how predictable that Jacksonville game was. Like, did either of you guys sit there when they're down at 20-10 and think they weren't winning the game 24-20?
That was predictable.
I had worries.
I think we all had worries in that game, Bert.
I think it was predictable.
The Deion Lewis fumble, I thought they were dead.
I still think, but look, like, all right, so you think maybe you're a little worried.
No, I wouldn't have said – I never at any point thought, oh, they're dead. There's no shot they win the game.
I mean, not dead, but like, that's the one that's
I think you felt
them.
Like, oh, there's a real chance they lose this
bottom one. Bottom line is that, like, that's a real thing, right? Like Atlanta kind of tightening up there in the fourth quarter last year, that's a real thing. And, like, that's – maybe that Atlanta team doesn't do that against 30 other teams. Is that fair?
No. But maybe they don't do that.
But they
in a regular
look over
season
and
game.
They look over. They see the flying Elvis. They see 12. They see the hoodie, and I just like what I like about the way that Doug's dealt with that is Doug is saying to his team, you know what? We're not running from that. Like, we're going to talk about it now. So we're not giving you one line for 2 weeks, and then we get in the game in the fourth quarter and we're playing with the lead, and a couple bad things happen, and now all of a sudden you're asking all these questions, and I like the idea of confronting the problem. I think that was an important piece of this.
Has Nick Foles gotten enough credit this week in talking about this game? It feels like Nick Foles has kind of been brushed off.
You know what's
And I don't know. I feel like maybe he's being overlooked in this thing.
It was so
and,
hard
and we
about
poked
that.
Fun at it and the RPO thing,
yeah.
Which seems like a bunch of nonsense.
You know what's hard about it, though?
Yeah, what?
What's hard about it is that, like, he legitimately looks like a different player. Because the rap on him, and this is 6 years of evidence, right? The rap on him was if you hit him, if you muddy pocket around him, if you force him to move, he falls apart. That's what, and that's why he was great that 1 year under Chip, because no one knew what to do with their running game.
Right.
And so he's running play action left and right and standing back there by himself, and 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And so that, like, he felt like his stock fell off in 2014 because he couldn't take hits, he couldn't move, all that stuff. And what we've seen the last 2 weeks against the Falcons, the second half of that game, and then the whole game against Minnesota, like, he's making throws with people hanging off of him.
Right.
And so I think, like, the hard thing about this, Beetle, is that the real Nick Foles? Or is this just like a 2 week aberration?
That's what's hard. It's about. So tough because, like you said, it's not like 6 games or 6 yeah. months, 6 years of thinking a guy is one way, and then in the 2 biggest games that he's ever played in, he plays a different
but that's
way.
That's a real thing. Like, how is that not real? He took the hits.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Now he's getting flushed out of the pocket, and he's finding receivers downfield in ways that he didn't do with any kind of consistency.
And I wonder,
his statistics in these games already. Well, he has completed 77% and 79% of his passes. I'm rounding up on those percentages in the last 2 games.
Yep.
That can't hold up.
I don't think it can hold
up. There's no way that can hold up.
But does he need to play that well to win? Because he played that well against Minnesota, right?
And they blew him out.
That wasn't close. So does he need to play that well to win a close game? Probably not. He doesn't. Maybe he needs to be 90% of that. They don't need that. I don't think they need that effort. They just need him to play well. And part of it, too, I think, like, a larger question here, and Zoe, you can speak to this, because he wasn't a first-round pick, like, we didn't give him he wasn't really given the time to develop, you know?
Right.
Like, he wasn't given, if you're not a first-round pick, you know what? You
they don't move on quickly.
You don't get a lot of second chances, you know?
Look at Alex Smith.
Right. Yeah. And he was the first pick in the draft, but a guy who's a third-round pick, it's just people make the call on those guys faster, you know? It's just like, If you screw up, you know, a lot of times it can mean you get pigeonholed into being a career backup, which is what happened to Nick Foles, which makes all of this even more interesting.
Bert, did you catch any of Tom vs. Time, Episode 3?
I thought it was the best one yet.
Okay, we'll get Bert's reaction to Episode 3. Also get to your calls at 617-779-0985. The CBS Sports Minute is brought to you by New Pro Home Improvements.
It's time to rally in Minnesota. 98.5 The Sports Hub is once again throwing a huge party for Pats fans. If you're going to the Twin Cities, join Felger and Max, Zoe Beetle, Hardy and Big Jim Murray at Buffalo Wild Wings at the University of Minnesota campus. It starts at 1 p.m. Central Time. The Sports Hub Super Saturday Rally. Sponsored by Coors Light. Great food, prizes, and special guests to get you pumped for the big game. This Saturday at Buffalo Wild Wings at University Ave, Minneapolis, with the home of your New England Patriots, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio Row, the legends of sports, the celebrities, the mall cops.
What are you doing here?
It's Zolak and Bertrand from Mall of America. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I guess we enjoy each other's company, you know, and there's just a natural chemistry.
I want to see you mother get out here and start running.
It's not my job, man.
This is what you're training.
It's not my job. It builds, you know, special relationships because you're doing things that, you know, how do you build trust? How do you build real love and caring for one another?
You have one job and that's to run. You know, run 3 routes and then cry.
It's enjoyable.
Well, I was trying to do a couple short routes because he was trying to cheat me.
How am I trying to?
3, 6.
He's trying to cheat me.
Time, why you punish me? Like a wave crashing into the shore, you wash away my dreams.
Bert Breer with us here on Zolak and Bertrand on Radio Row. This hour of coverage from Radio Row at Mall of America brought to you by Rom Diamonds. Bert, that was your favorite part of the Episode 3.
I like that, yeah.
Throwing out on the field in Montana.
Did you like the ATVs?
I did. Those were sweet.
Yeah.
Badass.
Those were sweet.
Do you think the crafts are looking at that and being like,
yes. Yes, I think they are.
Wasn't that where he fell? I mean,
Zoe always tells us about how Bledsoe had it in his contract that he couldn't go skiing.
Right.
Well, because they knew he went helicopter skiing. So that's
he
when
loved
they
to ski, though. Yeah. Did he sneak around that?
Sure.
Yeah.
He still skied.
Yeah.
I mean, but you do at risk.
But if you're watching it and those
part
three
of the
guys
thrill, buddy.
Are right. Not so much the ATV part, the part where they're on the bikes.
Yep.
They're going down the hill and you're thinking,
oh, that was treacherous, yeah.
That could end badly.
I'll throw in those rocks, you slip, and next thing you know, you
they were
over.
Throwing the rocks off the cliff at the end of the episode.
Weird. But if you're if you're pliable enough, you know, you just kind of bend all over the place when you fall. You'll be all right.
But you thought it was the best one yet. I thought episode two was probably
I thought episode two was better.
I thought this was good because, well, there's the Guerrero thing, which, like, he debunked. And there have been certain things where you wonder if there are some late edits. You know, like, there's been certain, like, parts of this that seem almost in response. And one was Guerrero talking about lifting weights with Amendola and Edelman. Where
but that's like filmed in the summer.
Yeah.
I'm not an
anti-weight
guy.
No, in terms of what you put in,
right,
what you don't.
Right. What you put in, what you don't put in. Like, that felt like that was probably put in there for a reason. And then, at the very end, the scene with his daughter. And you wonder if that was a late edit, too.
That's a great
like
point.
This week?
Yeah. It was. It wouldn't be that hard to do, right?
No, I don't think, I look don't
how,
think it
look
would
how
have.
Because there's probably so much footage. It's not
it
just
wouldn't
like,
be that hard to do.
You're right. What stinks?
I don't know.
God, that smells bad. It's like something on fire.
Like a dog.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bert.
That's interesting. Did they add that in? Just
seems like an interesting coincidence.
Stick it to EEI and Alex Reamer.
It seems like an interesting coincidence. Like, what is that? That's like that episode dropped maybe 28 hours after that story blew up, right? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just an interesting coincidence.
Are you going to be able to
what
continue
that?
The show?
Yes.
I think I
that
think
is
it's
gross.
I think
someone's cooking something.
No, that's not cooking. Somebody like there's a fire.
I think it's that other coffee place that probably just burned something while we have
it smells like burnt eggs.
Our Dunkin' delivery sitting next to us.
And now Zoe's sniffing around like a golden retriever.
Smell that instead. I think they burned something over there at that other place.
Okay. 617-779-0985. Super Bowl thoughts, reaction to Tom versus Time. Thoughts on the Eagles. We've got all that in the mix. Troy in Dorchester has a thought on Jim Schwartz. Hi, Troy.
How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
So, real quick, I just want to say I agree with everything Brett said in that last game. There was never a moment where I didn't think that we weren't going to win that game. And so, piggybacking off that, I just wonder if Schwartz is going to just be Schwartz and say, I'm not getting out of my zone that I love to run, and I'm not going to rush a bunch of guys like I don't like to do. You know, they're middle of the pack and getting sacks. I just wonder if he's just going to kind of be a bonehead and stick to his guns and not change it up against the Patriots, you know?
They aren't overly complex, though. Like, a lot of people tie Schwartz to Belichick and think, like, he runs a system similar to Belichick. He runs Jeff Fisher's system.
No, but boil this down, Bert. Is it better to do what you've done all year and do what you do best? Or is it better to adjust and game plan for the Patriots?
I think it's hard to change on the fly if you're not a team that changes on the fly on a regular basis.
And the Eagles are not, correct? They're right. Not a team that has
they don't change a lot
on the fly. Right. Defense.
That's now what hurt them in this game. Now how have they fared against Jeff Fisher teams in the past? Bill.
Pretty well.
They killed him. They
crushed
him.
And so I like
Fisher's the Del Rio.
I think what you will see from Schwartz is maybe some creative things. They don't send extra pressure a lot. But do they do extra things to create one-on-one matchups with their pass rushers? Because we know, I think we're going to be able to tell a lot, like, on where this game's going, just based on how much time Tom Brady spends on his back.
Right.
Because if they can...
Absolutely.
That's what the Eagles... Like, if the Eagles...
You got to hit him early.
The Eagles' back seven's good, but not great. The front four is great, and it's deep. And they're usually able to rotate enough where they're going to have fresh guys playing into the fourth quarter. Chris Long only played 31 snaps against the Vikings, and he made a huge impact. And part of it is because he's an older player, and because they've got depth, they're able to rotate those guys through. And so, you know what I would look for? And I talked to Anthony Lynn about this last night. They played both the Patriots and the Eagles, and he said he would expect that Jim Schwartz is going to do some things with some add-ons, right, where he'll bring an extra guy to go get the back, to prevent the back from releasing and create one-on-one matchups. And he actually thinks, and I agree with this, it's not the edge guys, it's the pressure up the middle. And so Cox is going to be really, really important. How do the Patriots deal with Cox?
Ben is in the car today. Hi, Ben. You're up next on Zolak and Bertrand.
Hi, guys. Long time, anytime. I actually have 2 points, so please don't hang up on me too quickly. I've been on hold from Seabrook, New Hampshire to Brookline, so I deserve it.
That's very nice of you to hang with us.
So TB12, you know, for the first at least half, I don't have specifics, but probably the first half of his career, this guy wouldn't even do a commercial without his lineman because he was so humble and unselfish. You know, now after 17, going on 18 years, this guy finally does something for himself to put a little bit of a spotlight on himself, and everybody's calling him selfish and egotistical and all this, you know, yada, yada. I really think the way he's carried himself over the past 18 years really deserves a little bit of time to himself to show off, you know, what he's doing in this Tom Verse time thing.
And I think that's a great point, because I think that's what makes how they deal with all of this after the season really complicated.
Yes, I agree with that. The second point before I hang up, I know you guys are busy. The whole timing on the rollout, now, not so much you guys, but Felger and Maz and a couple other talking heads across the street, a couple of clowns, have pointed out that they think it's selfish and unfair that Tom rolled out this TV time schedule going into the Super Bowl. Now, I don't have facts, you know, and I don't know all the specifics, so I'm going to say that right out. But I would be willing to bet that he had zero control over when this was rolled out. And I bet you that the plan to roll this out, the timing, was made long before anybody knew he was going to the playoffs or the Super Bowl.
Okay. I do not believe that even a little bit. Tom Brady has a documentary that is about him. He can control and will have control over when that comes out.
If he wanted to say that, if he said to them, hey,
don't be so naive,
let's back this up a couple months then.
Yeah. A couple weeks, never mind a couple of months.
Right. Like, he have the power to do all
of course he does.
Now, I will say the first point's a good one, because I think that's what makes it. I think that makes what happens after the season between Kraft and Belichick and Brady complicated.
How so?
Because normally in these situations, Bill would just tell a player to put a lid on it, stop it. And Brady has enabled so many things, has enabled so much of that, of what Bill is and what Bill wants to build in the program. He is the hardest worker on the team. He can be coached hard. He takes less money. And in all, there are so many circumstances where the Patriots, Belichick, his other coaches, can treat a player a certain way, can act a certain way to a player, and say to that player, you don't want to do it? Look at number 12. He's doing it. Like, he's doing all this stuff. So he's been a great enabler for Bill, right? And part of it is, don't do things outside the football team that are going to affect what happens here, right? So this one's complicated, because this isn't just telling a player to, like, shut up, you know? Like, this is, like, literally what Tom's going to do after his career. Like, this is what the plan is for the next 25 years of his life. And so can Brady and Kraft can Belichick and Kraft go to Brady in good conscience and say, put a lid on it? No, right?
Gotten him to this point.
You can't. Like,
and it's helped him win.
Like it's...
Because ultimately, it builds about winning.
Because if I'm Brady, right, and somebody tells me to do that, I'm like, wait a second. I took less money. I busted my ass for 18 years. I've done everything that was ever asked of me. I've allowed you to get my face. I've allowed you to coach me hard because I know it's what's best for the team. I've won 6 championships because we all think that's what it's going to be at that point. And you're telling me that I can't use a little bit of that collateral that I've... The little bit of that juice that I've built up over the last 18 years to set up what my next career is going to be? Screw you.
To your point.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're Brady, isn't that the way you're looking at it?
Yeah, and to your point, and what I want to get to at some point here with you is this. If I'm Brady, and if that's going to be said to him, then, hey, see this, guys? It's Alex Smith's new contract. Alex effing Smith.
Yep.
71 guaranteed. What are we going to do?
Yep.
And after this game, say he gets it, here's the 6 rings. What are we doing to counteract that?
And you know what gives him leverage?
Market's set.
You know what gives him even more leverage?
What's that?
Is who's not in the building right now.
Right, Jimmy.
Right.
But Jimmy is going to end up getting more than that guy.
Oh, Jimmy's going to get significantly more than Alex. Mark it down.
Not only that, you've got Drew Brees.
You can't say a thing to Brees.
Who is on the market. Even though he says he's
Denver,
staying in New Orleans.
Denver,
Kirk Cousins.
He's only a year younger than Tom Brady.
Yep.
I'd rather see Brees go to Denver.
So what Drew Brees gets, I think, is important.
Great, yes. Yeah.
You know, what Drew Brees' contract will heavily
Minnesota
back
has
that's
well.
A good point.
He's only a year younger.
Because people look at Brady
so you can say, oh, you know, Jimmy G's going to get paid. Yeah, but he's young, and he's got plenty of years ahead of him. Okay, what's Drew Brees get? Because he's a year younger than Brady.
He's made bank.
They ain't separated by much. And he's going to get
they
paid,
played
too.
Against each, they played against each other in college.
I know. I know.
They're like
they're,
peers.
They're age peers.
Yeah. Yeah.
He must be flexible, too. There's no other explanation.
Pliable.
Sorry.
Pliable.
A thousand pardons.
Flex. Everybody's flexible. Like, how flexible are you? It's how pliable are you? When you incorporate the water into
you
the muscles.
You pliable, Hardy?
No, it's, you know, pliable is the new flexible, just like reflux is the new colic. It's fine.
You're being a dick now.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Yep.
Are you done yet?
I'm all done.
You're not done.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Hardy's not
catch
done.
Catch me later on the Please done. Don't Take My Plate. I'm Not Quite Done Yet Network.
Not done. Not done.
Not done
it's
at
not
all.
Done yet. Not done yet.
Please don't take those chicken wings. I'm Not Quite Done Yet Network.
Can't say not done yet. Not done yet is Philly. Not done is New England. You're promoting okay. Philly right
how about
now.
Not quite done?
Not quite done.
Hardy has headlines. We're back with more on Radio Row with Bert Breer.
God, that smells bad. It's like something on fire.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Sports Hub headlines.
Super Bowl week continues. Yes, we're here on Radio Row in the Mall of America. I keep saying Minneapolis. We're in Bloomington, Minnesota. And Rob Gronkowski is going to play in the Super Bowl on Sunday. You want to know how we know? He was asked this morning, Rob, you going to play? He said yes. He said, you are? And he said yes. So that's good enough for us as the team gets ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl 52 Sunday in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, the Bruins' point streak ended with their first game back from the All-Star break. It was a 3-1 loss to Anaheim last night at the TD Garden. Coach Bruce Cassidy, what happened?
We just didn't have it early. I don't know if it's a credit to them or just our guys or the break, whatever the case was, wasn't good enough. We addressed it. I thought we were a lot better after that, but you know,
Bruins point.
To get back to your question, maybe the break did have something to do with it, but didn't seem to affect them as much, although I don't think they were dynamic by any means, but they were better than us.
There we go. So the Ducks became the first team to beat the Bruins in regulation going all the way back to December 14th. Next up, they take on St. Louis Thursday night. Celtics play the Knicks tonight. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call at 8 o'clock right here. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by AT&T, proud sponsor of the 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots. Radio Network, AT&T, entertainment your way. I'm Hardy, I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Listen on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Zoe and Beadle are live in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union. On the home of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hopefully by tomorrow. I mean, we'll see how it goes and what the doctors say. I mean, I'm not the guy to say, oh, I'm out of the protocol. That's the doctor's calls. And hopefully that it's very, very soon.
But do you think you'll play, Gronk? Do you think you'll play on Sunday? Do you think you'll play on
Sunday? Yes.
You think you'll play?
Yes.
Oh, good.
All right.
Is she a little slow or something?
I'll take it. I'll take it from here. That's Jacina Anderson.
What the
Anderson.
Hell was that?
Jacina Anderson.
Go ahead, Zoe. Rip
we all wish.
We can't stand
we
her.
We wish that Jamie Erdl kicked her ass. She's one of the worst people in broadcasting. She touches you. She's inappropriate by her actions.
Unprofessional.
Unprofessional.
Bert.
Rude. Cuts people up. Bert, you got to take on her. You ever watch her do
well,
her
Bert
job?
Bert ain't going to
you ever watch her,
this.
Bert? Certain rules apply for
there's
certain
no,
people.
There's no upside.
No other
here.
People. Why? What do you got to lose?
Would you care to,
what are you going to
counter
ESPN?
Anything that Zoe said?
I'm going to, yeah.
You disagree with anything
I
say?
I'm going to kind of stay out of it.
Okay, that speaks for itself.
There you go. Good.
Hardy, we missed the time and temp there. Because a little bit of a miscommunication.
Lord knows we need this. The Exergen temporal scanner thermometer time and
so
temperature is, thank you very much. It's 11:40. And 25 degrees, bad cold and flu season upon us. Knowing when it's the flu can make a big difference. So be prepared with a thermometer you can trust, the Exergen temporal scanner.
Thanks, Hardy.
You're welcome. You're going to play? You're going to play, Gronk?
So
and he goes,
so unprofessional.
Yes.
It really is.
So you're going to play?
There's 500 other people in the room.
Why did you ask me three times and then ask a fourth time after I already answered yes?
You think you'll play?
Yes.
You think you'll play?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Oh,
he said it twice.
Off to Twitter. Off to the Twitter.
Oh, good. Yep. Oh. Hold on. Let me put my bright pink lipstick on.
Play.
Let me hurry
play,
to get that on.
You think he'll play?
Can't stand her.
You think he'll play?
Yes.
Who was it?
Josina Anderson.
Oh,
ESPN.
Yeah.
Okay.
She
wow,
gets.
Wow, that a reaction.
Opening night. There's a problem.
Oh.
Was there?
That, yeah, her.
Yeah.
What was
yeah.
the issue?
She has a problem.
She had a problem. Problem.
Did you see the way she handled McDaniels on opening night?
I did.
Not what happened?
Just kind of.
Anybody else, any one of us did it in our job, we'd be fired the next
what
day.
What happened?
Okay.
With Josh.
Nothing, just kind of muscled her way into his spot.
But do you think you'll play, Gronk? Do you think you'll play on Sunday?
Shut up.
I'm more important than anybody. I have an ESPN microphone in my hand. I got my hair blown that straight.
She did drop the told me after, too.
Oh, that is the douchiest thing that ESPN does.
Right.
They go onto their network they say, well, Bill Belichick told me, yeah, a-hole, and he told 30 other members of the media. He didn't speak to you one-on-one.
300.
Oh, well, Josh McDaniels told me on opening night. No, he didn't. He told everybody that on opening night because there were 20 other people sitting there. The worst. That's an ESPN thing. That goes back years.
Yep.
Years. Bunch of nonsense. He told me. No, he didn't. He didn't tell you. That happens on the NFL Network.
So get back to the real thing.
Ian Rappaport, they all do that. Okay. They all do. You probably used to do that, Bert.
No, I only did it if I had the guy one on one.
Yeah, then that's what
that
you
was
should
like,
do.
That was a. And there are people
and
who
did they get mad at you.
There
did
are
your
people,
bosses there get mad at you about it?
No, there are people. There are people. Well, we're told to do it.
Okay, that's all. You are instructed by your bosses at those networks.
We're told to do.
To say that.
We're told to like it's a way of providing like. Make the audience feel like you're bringing them into something. You know, like that's the idea. The problem is when people do it, they're sitting in a press conference and they act as if, like, just because Bill Belichick was answering your question, he didn't tell you that.
It's the way to present yourself as an insider with inside information when you're not, is what it is. It's fraudulent, is what it is. ESPN, they suck. God, does ESPN suck. I watched SportsCenter the other night for, like, the first time in 5 years.
How was it?
It was terrible, number one. The
is
show
it still Jamel and Michael? Or is
no,
Jamel
no, this was late night. This was, okay. You know, just.
Scott, did you see sports. The cricket top play?
Van Pelt's good.
I didn't see that.
I love Van Pelt.
But the one thing that I noticed is they're showing you highlights of a game, and it was a game in the NBA, and they stop every 15 seconds to show you someone's Instagram post or a post-game clip. And you're not even to halftime yet in the highlights. And I'm like, what is this? What are we doing here? I guess that's what the kids are into. But if you look at their ratings, they are bombing.
Well, the problem for SportsCenter is that nobody watches highlights on TV anymore. People watch highlights on their phones.
Yeah.
So that sort of takes away what's the purpose of SportsCenter to a large degree.
Beetle watched the Houston Patriots highlights from earlier this year. Pulled it right up on his phone about half hour ago.
Yeah, but there's something to be said for having that outlet just, you know, on in the background to flip something on, sports-related, catch up on things without seeking it out, you know? I do agree. You can get anything online. And anytime there is something I want to see, I will go to it online. But, I don't know, it'd be nice to just have a show that you could flip on and not think was as terrible as it is.
All right.
But Josina Anderson, she's an insider. Big-time insider.
Right now? Okay. Who's coming over now? Chris Sims.
Okay.
Come on, buddy. How you doing, pal?
What's up, Chris?
And Chris Sims, set to join us here on Zolak and Bertrand. He is in our Big Y world-class market guest chair and is settling in. Hold on. We got to turn your mic on.
Okay.
Get your mic on. What's up?
You like those LeBron soldiers right there?
What are those?
We got to talk about the shoes.
I'm a sneakerhead, so, like, I love – like Nike basketball sneakers.
Yeah.
I work for Bleacher Report and NBC.
Okay.
They let me wear this kind of stuff to the office every day. Yep, these are LeBron soldiers. It's always Nike. It's going to be Kyrie, LeBron, some PGs, something like that.
Why are you loyal to Nike?
You know what? Because like I grew up in the Michael Jordan era, right? You know, and it's
you're gonna get the Air Jordans, you gotta stick with Nike.
Yeah, exactly. So I just stayed with them, and then yes, I did have a pretty sweet deal with them when I was playing in the NFL, and I've stayed loyal. I actually told when I was coming out of high school, I used to go, I'm not going to a college that doesn't have a Nike contract.
See, that's a factor for a lot of kids
coming out.
It's like, are you going to a Nike school? Are you going to a Reebok school?
Definitely.
Are you going to an Adidas school?
No doubt about it. Like, there were some schools I was like, damn, I can't wear those ugly Reebok cleats all the time. I can't do it.
Oh, man.
Reeboks were terrible.
Texas was the worst.
Texas was Nike, right?
It was Nike, yes, it was. Yeah. They were Reebok, and Mac was like, now, Chris Sims, I promise you, we're going to Nike next year. I was just had Nike at North Carolina, and we're going to Nike as soon as I get there. As soon as this contract ends, I promise you. That was one of the selling points to me.
What dad wear?
Part
pony?
Dad.
Did he wear pony?
Pony.
Oh, God.
Apex. You remember Apex?
I wore Apex one
yes.
for a year.
Yeah, he was Apex jackets.
Oh,
you know,
the Apex starter jackets.
Right, yes. Yep, right. Yeah, yeah so, yeah.
The good old days. Was Apex the shark tooth hats too?
They had the hats, yes. The jackets. That, yeah. I think it was the shark tooth hat.
Remember those? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Like 93-ish, 94.
What do you make of the Alex Smith deal?
Oh, you know, I think it's, you know, actually the smart play by the Redskins. Like, I think
really?
I think Kirk Cousins the better player. I certainly do, but I don't think anybody's worth $34 million. I really don't. And they're a team that has some holes in their roster, and I think for him to command money like he's Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady in his prime, no, you're letting a guy hold your organization hostage from that standpoint. Yeah. That's what I would have probably said. You know, I mean, again, Alex Smith is really good. Don't get me wrong. They can win a Super Bowl with him. I don't think he's as good as Kirk Cousins, but I think it was the smart play as an organization for the Redskins.
Where does Kirk Cousins land?
I know. That's a great question. I think the three teams that jump out to me, I mean, the Cardinals, of course, have a need there, but the Broncos, the Jets, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll see if they stay fast with this whole Blake Bortles. We're going to re-sign
him. The wrist surgery kind of complicates things.
Well, it really does. And I wouldn't do that. I'm just going to say that right there. So
wouldn't do what?
I wouldn't want Blake Bortles back as my quarterback.
Yeah, I would make the move, too.
I would
get away.
I mean, that was the best team in football this year. I made a lot of headlines because I said he was the 70th best quarterback at one point. But
he's not in your top five, though.
No, he's not in my top five. Not with Tom Brady.
Is Brady in your top five yet?
He is in my top five. You guys are such jerks. I had like one year of his career.
He asked you that every time we talked.
It was one year in his career, 2 years, where I was like, it was borderline top five. And Boston fans just annihilate me anytime I talk about it. But what the hell were we talking about? Where were we going there? Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. Yep.
The Jets, because of Jeremy Bates, the offensive coordinator there. He's from Gruden School, right? Jeremy was down
Shanahan.
There.
Shanahan, yeah. He was with Kyle.
He was in Tampa there with me.
And he knows Sean, yeah.
Exactly. So it's going to be a very easy, seamless transition there. And then the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos are a team that I think next year can really – I mean, the defense is still legit.
Yeah.
They could be right back in the mix of things, I think, if they got the right quarterback.
You think Drew Brees is going to bounce? Or you think, you know, he's been with the Saints for so long. Peyton's there.
Yeah.
I know that's... What's the urge to go to, like, a Denver or, say, a Minnesota here?
I think there's no way he leaves town. The offense is orchestrated around Drew Brees, and I think that's why it's been such a great marriage. I mean, you know, Sean Payton knows what Drew does best.
They run the ball well now.
They run the ball well. The team's set up to win the Super Bowl here. I mean, they're that close.
They should be here. They'd have beat Philly, I think.
I think so, too. They matched up better with Philly than I think the Minnesota Vikings did. But I think he'd be crazy to abandon ship right now. And I would think he's not going to hold their feet to the fire to, like, totally annihilate their salary cap situation.
We're talking with Chris Sims here on Radio Row.
Do the people in Boston like me at all anymore? I mean, or am I just totally...
Yeah, well, you got Brady back in the top five.
Yeah, he's back in the top five. You're good now.
He had a rough stretch there for a while.
Trust me, I know.
Touch and go there for a few minutes.
Gosh, damn.
How many years ago was that now?
Four or five years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, I kissed Patriots' butts more than any team. I root for them, and people think I don't just because I made that comment.
I remember we had you on when that happened, and I was like, this is the greatest interview ever. This is so great. And people were mad at me for saying it was a great interview.
Because you were saying, like, I didn't think this person existed.
What are you on his side? Yeah. You like Chris Sims? You idiot. Like, that's
Chris Sims, and it was one of the Pro Football Focus guys. Sam Monson?
Right? That happened after that.
That's the only thing Sam Monson's known for in Massachusetts.
Yeah, he's dead to everybody. Yeah. He's never coming back from that. Yeah, you seem to have rebounded.
Well, Brady's unreal, man. There's no, I mean, like I've been saying this for the last two or three years. I truly think Tom Tom Brady is better now than he was in 2011 or when I was working there in 2012 into that 2013 year. The way
he is too,
right?
Yeah.
Don't you?
Because now we have the other 3 years to go off of. But when you're living in 2011,
yes.
or 2012, you still think he's one of the top three or five,
right? I hear you. Yeah, but I'm amazed because he still has his fastball and he throws the ball better down the field now than he ever did really since the early years of his career.
It's more accurate.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Does Nick Foles on Sunday play the way that he has been playing in recent weeks?
I don't think it's going to be. It'll be more, I think, towards the Atlanta game. I don't think we're going to see him go for like 350 and three touchdowns like the Minnesota Vikings game. I mean, Belichick, Patricia, they're just too smart. They'll have too many different things within their defensive game plan, I think, for them to just let up that many big football plays. I think it's going to be an awesome game. I don't know where you guys are. I'm picking the Patriots, of course, because I think Brady's going to get the ball late in the game. He's going to drive down. You're going to win 28-24. I do think the Eagles – are somebody booing me? I do think the Eagles – I do think the Eagles are the better team. I know you and I had this conversation yesterday, and I said I thought this was the worst Patriots team to ever reach the Super Bowl. And here we are. I'm still picking them to win.
That one for Jacksonville last week, too. Jacksonville was a better team.
Without a doubt.
And you're talking about talent on the roster.
Because coaching and everything all plays into it. But, yes, like you said, Albert, you're right. I mean, Jacksonville is one of the most talented teams I've ever seen.
That's the best defense I've seen in a while.
Yes.
See, the problem is I don't watch a lot of Jacksonville, so it's like ignorance.
So do you think, like, and this is what I think is really interesting, right? So Nick Foles had this rap for 6 years that if you can muddy things around, if you can hit him, he folds, right? That's always what it was.
Right.
And, like, the last game and a half, it's like that's just not been the case.
No.
Like, he makes the plays to Smith and Jeffrey downfield last week with things just crashing down around him.
Right.
I mean, do you think – like, that's got to be real growth, right?
It's definitely real growth. And I think the other thing, too, I mean, you know, first of all, he got reps. He got to play the last few games of the year. He got a bye week to get more reps. As the quarterback and the backup quarterback, you know, like – You don't even get to run all the scout team reps sometimes. He had to share that with Nate Sudfeld. And then the last time you played was back in preseason where it's not even that intense. And then all of a sudden you get thrown in there to where everybody in football is hitting on all cylinders. And now the 300-pounders are truly trying to rip your head off. And you haven't been doing crap except holding a clipboard. That's a tough adjustment. So I think what Peterson has done just for game plan-wise, staying patient with the run, these RPOs have all helped him out to now where he can actually make some plays with his physical ability from time to time.
Do you think, like, the stuff that Kansas City did in the opener translates here? Because Kansas City gave them a real, like, a lot of trouble with the option stuff, the RPOs.
Yes.
Do you think that translates right over?
I do think some of that will translate. The fact that you got 2 weeks and Belichick and Patricia, they're going to cancel out some of that stuff. But the other thing I think that is different between Philadelphia and Kansas City, Philadelphia's offensive line, that's where I really just go. Yeah. They can impose their will on people. I mean, they really can. It's a special group. They're athletic and big. And I really think that's going to be one of the keys of the game. Like, Alan Branch needs to be healthy. They need him just in case to
he is healthy.
Maybe keep a guy backside for the RPO. That
he was
maybe
healthy.
Doesn't have to crash
he was
down.
Healthy the weekend.
He ain't
weekend
playing.
The AFC
and they just didn't.
He ain't playing.
He ain't playing. So
I would not expect him.
So he's out of shape and gotten too big, and they don't trust him.
I think he retired. I think last season.
Okay. Well, they think he stinks.
Well, he okay. You know what?
When I thought
that might have been because I know New England, and that's the way. I wasn't sure, but he had that little stretch early in middle year Denver where I was like, okay, he might be coming along.
He retired. Didn't tell.
Yeah. And here's the thing. He's a guy that they don't trust to come back and in the first week back
and be
play well.
Right. I hear that.
Be ready to go.
Those big guys, you do have to worry because three biscuits they eat and they go from 350 to 400 in no time.
But he's also a guy that's done his own thing. He hasn't gone with the team workout off season. He doesn't do any of that. He's all on his own.
Yeah, you're not in the good graces of the Patriots.
Yeah, I think
that
has caused some friction.
Right.
So that's why I don't think we're probably going to see him. Yeah. Before you go, have you seen any of Tom versus Time?
A little bit, just clips of it.
What do you make of the concept, though? Do you like it?
I think it's amazing. I really do. Just from what I've seen, to get a little inside look of what makes him so special, I think is really priceless. It's something I know I'm going to sit down and watch with my little boy because my little boy's a big Tom Brady fan, too. I know. So eat that, Boston. We like Tom Brady, just so you know, in the Sims house.
Isn't it weird that, I mean, they preached to us throughout all the years that we played.
Yeah.
The right diet, the nutrition. Remember the Metrex shakes we'd shake?
And the Metrex,
they'd have in our lockers.
Right.
I was on Andro back in the day in the early 90s. Ultra Fuel.
You got ripped off, I'm just telling you.
Right. But, I mean, and then you roll your eyes at it, and you go, you have burgers, and but you really don't put it all together. But yet Brady's found this way to put it all together and make it work.
What he said in one of the clips that I saw, like, if you want to beat me, you better be willing to give up your life because I'm willing to give up my life to get better. Like, that just, I think, epitomizes him and what he is. And, again, I'm more amazed at the fact, screw that he's 40 and amazing, whatever else. I think he's throwing the ball better now than he was 5 years ago. So there's no reason for him to stop or anything
like that. He screwed Bill's plan up.
No, yeah, you're right.
It's the one thing Bill couldn't plan for.
Right.
Chris, one thing real quick.
Yeah.
You're close with Kyle.
Just blew right through the stops.
Are you surprised with what Kyle's been able to do with Jimmy so fast?
I'm not surprised. I really think Jimmy is a perfect fit for what Kyle does. Like, Jimmy a little more athletic than Tom. You know, he can run those bootlegs, the play actions, all that. You know, I think the world of Kyle, not only because he's my friend, but I think the results speak for themselves. He's one of the best offensive minds in the game, right up there with Josh McDaniels. And, no, I think they're going to be in store for some really, really big things. I really still think when they traded for him, I don't know this because I don't ask Kyle these questions because I don't want to know the answer because then I can't speak freely about it if he tells me the truth, right? So I really think they got Jimmy G and they really were going to try to trade him to get Kirk Cousins. And then they had to play Jimmy G and then they were like, holy cow, he's amazing and he's setting the bay on fire. And now he's the guy and I think they've said like, wow, we might have something special here. That's just my, like, you know.
Feeling.
Yeah, my feeling. But I don't really know that.
Appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Sims, Bleacher Report, NBC Sports. That's where you can catch him all week with his Super Bowl coverage. He joins us in the Big Y world-class market guest chair. And if you couldn't hear that, he said, I love you, Boston. So there's a shout-out at the end from Chris Sims joining us here at the Mall of America on Radio Row. We have more to come from Radio Row. More with Bert Breer, maybe some more guests along the way. Also get a check of the headlines with Hardy.
Zoe and Beetle are live in Minneapolis thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on the home of the game, 98.5 The Sports Hub.